But God created every one of us to be distinct in an area. That's what I'm talking about, the law of gifts. And if this thing we are talking about that God in the life of Jacob, if this thing that God did, that he did, in fact, let me tell you another modern story, which I used to illustrate a lot of times. Demon Shakarian. You know, I love that story. Many years ago, a young boy, they call him the boy prophet. Later on, he became an old man, but they were still calling him the boy prophet. One day, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he was there alone for many days. And when he returned, he came out. This was a boy who could not read, who could not write. When he returned, he came out with a patch, with a piece of paper, or something like that, in which he had drawn instructions. He had written instructions and drawn maps with arrows and all of that. They said, "Where did you get it from?" He said, "While I was there in the wilderness, I had visions. And these are the things I saw. And I was told to copy them." So he copied instructions and maps. But he could not read the instructions. Because he could not read, he could not write. So why did he copy? He was just tracing. If something went like this, he would put it like that. Are you getting my point? So that's what happened to him. He copied what he saw. So he gave to those who could read, who could write. And they read it as the instruction of God. They were Armenians. That God said they should leave Armenia. And they should all go to the United States. And the Bible said, despise not prophesying. Some laughed. They did not believe in spiritual things. So they did not go. And the talks killed all of them. This talkie of today. The talks went into Armenia. I mean, still in the news. They said they can't call it genocide. You call it genocide. The talks will fight. The fact that there was genocide, they killed over 1 million people. Some they hacked to death. The rest they drove into the wilderness to die of thirst and dehydration. In Karakala. Karakala is where the grandfather of Demon Shakarian came from. That was their village where this young man did this. Demon Shakarian's father also did not believe. He also laughed, except that something happened. The Christians from Russia used to come to their village for a celebration annually. And he was going to be the host that year. And he felt like, and they had some funny beliefs. They believed that the food they ate were sacrifices unto God. For that reason, they did not take an animal that had a blemish. Are you getting my point? Any deformity at all. So what they did was simple. They had a big feast. So this man was a host. But then the best animal he had to entertain his guests had one blind eye. So you know what he did? He said, "This did the best." So he took the cow or the bull or whatever it is, removed the head, and went to hide the head behind the barn. And they were roasting the rest of it and having Pentecostal celebration. Except that the head of the Moscow team, the Russian team, he was looking at the man. Finally, he told everybody to stop playing. He dragged the man to the back of the barn and showed him where he kept the head. And nobody knew apart from him. That was the day the man was converted to know that supernatural things were real. That was the only reason he believed the boy prophet. So he followed them. Demon Shakarian's father was a small boy. He was the only son in the house when they all moved to the United States of America. Shortly after they left, the talks entered the village and killed everybody. That young boy had been warned by God that they should all leave. Those who listened to the prophecy left. Those who did not stayed. And they died. But that's not why I'm telling the story. The story I'm telling is that part of the prophecy was that the Lord told them that when you get to that country, I will bless you there. And when they got there, they were not blessed too. They suffered. Cold. Hunger. God's blessing, let me tell you something about God's promises. They don't always come to pass instantly, but they will come to pass. And the fact that God has promised does not mean you don't follow proper procedure. Did you hear what I said? The fact that God has promised something does not mean you will not follow proper procedure. If God says, "Move to Bakiliki, when you get there, I will bless you," it didn't mean go and sit in the center of the road and between stick at 12 noon. Say, "I don't know, I'm going to ride when I get here." No, it means that if you're a young man, you're in a Bakiliki. First day, he didn't say anything to you. Second day, he didn't say anything to you. Third day, find a job. Say, "What kind of job?" "I don't know." If they are roasting plantain and he's selling, join them and roast. If it's groundnut, sell groundnut. If it's to teach in the school, teach. If they say, but instead government is employing, you see the advert, you have the qualification, apply.
But don't sit at home only after. And I said, God promised me that once I get to Abakiliki, there will be no problem again. Listen, hunger will drive you away from Abakiliki, back to where you came from. Please, I hope you're... This is where people make mistakes. Check what is right to do. God never speaks concerning what is normal. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He doesn't just repeat himself when on things that are very... Has God ever told you in the morning, my son, and this is 6:30, wake up. No, he doesn't. He lets the clock, the cock. Cock will crow, go. You wake up. Alarm will go off, you wake up. The only time he wakes you up is maybe 1:30 a.m. Everybody should be asleep, say, Samuel. If you wanted to call Samuel like that, he won't shout to be waking Samuel up at 6. He knows Samuel will be. Are you getting my point? If God doesn't say anything specific to you, it means do what is normal at that particular point in time. Are you getting my point? Sometimes somebody will say, God has not told me to apologize. That's how proud men talk. You have done what is wrong. God needs to tell you to apologize. Special communication because you are what? God does not give people special communications except there is a special situation. Are you getting my point? So if he tells you, go to Abakiliki and I will bless you there. He said, when you get to Abakiliki, what do normal people, of your age, what do they do? He won't see any other thing. But while you are doing that, which is normal for your age in Abakiliki that he sent you to by supernatural manifestation, then you will not see a special power riding upon that. I hope you're getting my point here. Back to my story. So Demoshakarian's father was a little boy, right? So his grandfather was the person that came with the whole team. There was a lot of poverty amongst them. It took years for them to begin to break through. The men were looking for jobs and all of that. I'm going somewhere. Then one day, Demoshakarian's father died. Demoshakarian's grandfather died. His father was now the man in the house. By Armenian rule, he was the only one that could work. The day his mother tried to get a job to help out the family, the boy walked out of the house, and he was only 17. The mother had to resign the job before the boy came back home. And he had 4 sisters or so. His mother and like 4 or 5 sisters. And he was the only man who was supposed to take care of them. And he began to labor. His mother just got a job as a cleaner somewhere. And the boy refused. I'm sorry, my mother cannot work. Armenian families, only the men worked. So he was struggling. And they remember that God's promise, which we obeyed, which has been proven to be the word of God by events that came up after, that promise was that when we get here, we will be blessed. So he went to church one day and said, no, I am not being blessed. I don't understand what is going on. And the elders decided to, of course, they all gathered to pray. They used to pray in tongues, pray. They had all kinds of spiritual gyrations. And they asked for funny things. And sometimes when Christians say that, no, in the New Testament, God only speaks through your spirit. That is only 50% true. Please, my book will come out sometime, maybe February, March, titled Guided by the Spirit. I taught a lot of things in there. People say, a Christian cannot cast lots. I don't know why they said that. But Christians will not cast lots. You know why? Lot casting is a bit unreasonable most times. But when it becomes reasonable, casting lots is okay. Don't wake up and don't cast lots like a fool, because that's what... I don't want to get there. One day, Israel and I did the casting of lots, yeah. And 3 times we did it, 3 times we got the same result. I used 3 different kinds of lots. We're trying to make a decision on dates. Do we do this program, this date, or the other date? Both dates were identical in every method we had for coming to the conclusion. So I said, Israel, let's do some lots. So we prayed. I said, Lord, yeah, which one do you want? We did it 3 times, fell on the same date. All my life, I can't remember doing that 5 times. And I've been doing things for a long time. Now, back to what I'm saying. Now, I'm not saying this is the normal way by which God leads, but God works in mysterious ways. So these men decided to open a Bible, close their eyes, and do tumbon tumbon on the Bible. After they pray for Demoshakarian's father, they open the Bible at random. You know, just drop your Bible. Bam. Thank God it was not a tab. Now the screen will tell you where what the Lord is saying. Say, where's the crack? The crack is in Ephesians chapter 5. It was a normal paper Bible. I don't have any paper Bible here. Anyway, they dropped it. It opened. And then somebody put his finger somewhere, opened his eyes.
and saw, blessed shall you be in the field. So he said, the Lord said, you are to go and trade in the field. What is field? Farm product. So go into farm produce and start doing business there. Because before that time, where he was working, his lungs were being fried. He was working in the leather factory where they used to, you know, cut leather. So the powder of the leather was injuring his lungs. Okay? So he stopped. And he, okay, when he left there, they said, all right, do dealing products of the field. So he decided to think, okay, what can he do? They live in a city. The vegetables in the city, they are not fresh. So let me go out to the villages and get fresh vegetables and start selling in the cities. Now, so that's what happened to him. And then he began to prosper. While he was doing that, he found out that the people also needed fresh milk. So he began to buy fresh milk and bring in to sell. Then one day he found that, why am I buying milk? I can raise my own dairy cow. Like the dairy, you know, cows and then the farm. So he started that also. Make a long story short, that was how his business took off until he became a multimillionaire. Because somebody read the word of God to him. Or they discerned the mind of the Spirit and said, blessed shall you be in the field. Please, I'm not saying that's the way God leads all the time. You open your Bible and close your eyes. But you get the principle. I'm just trying to let you understand that God has a specific place for each person. And when you are outside that place, that manifestation of the Spirit doesn't come into your life. Let me continue that man's story because it's so instructive. That was his father. The young Demos joined business with his father, married when he was 20, and then began to build his own business. Let's make a long story short. He had grace upon him so that he grew their dairy farm until they had 1 million cattle in one single company. 1 million. In case you don't know how big 1 million is, when I was doing my NYC, all the cattle on the Mambila Plateau were counted to be 1 million. And they had a lot there. Now, what am I telling the story? Please go and read this book. I can't tell the whole story now. The Happiest People on Earth. He said he had a supernatural manifestation just like that of Joseph. Very similar. By which he used to pick the kind of animals he bought. Because the animals didn't just grow one day. It don't just go like that. They used to buy some, add to their flock. They wanted better animals, they buy. But how do you know which one? Let me make a long story short. The Holy Spirit will come upon one of the animals. And he will see it. Only him will see it. Are you getting my point here? It was a consistent manifestation. And he said this is the same kind of glow that he used to see on the faces of those that the Holy Spirit wanted him to call to speak during full gospel businessmen fellowship meetings. Because what he used to do is that he didn't have a script for the meetings. He just come in and say, he would just look across the hall. Somebody's face would just start glowing. Only him will see the face. He said, you, the Holy Spirit is telling you to give your testimony. Come forward. You get up, you speak. Your speech will be anointed. You sit down. Who is speaking next? He looks around. He's another person. Now, when he will go and buy animals, he will look around, and suddenly one animal will stand out. I see somebody shining a supernatural light on it. It's just glowing. You say, I want that one. Sometimes they are cheap. Sometimes they are expensive. It's irrelevant to him, but they were always worth more than he paid for them. The man's success was not by human labor. When you are walking in life, one thing you must start going for is, where does my grace flow? I hope you are getting my point here. That's what we are talking about. Stop doing things that every time you are struggling, you are struggling, you are struggling, you are struggling. When it's Monday, you are depressed. Why? Your job is struggle. Ask yourself, how did I get here? If it's love of money, say, money, I don't love you again. Let me tell you something about life. Most of us, Satan will send us into obscurity. Do you know how? He will give us a good paying job so that our gift will never be manifested. Let me pray a prayer for somebody here. You are still young, may they sack you. Say amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. There's an age for sack. Do you hear what I said? There's an age for sack. You are well paid, you like the comfort around your job, but you know it is not the area where God wants you to be, but you can't leave. Your father will disown you if you resign. Don't worry. Don't resign. Don't bother resigning. In 6 weeks, you are gone. Resign or no, resign. Why am I telling you ahead? So that when you are fired, don't go and pray. Don't sue a seat to recover a lost job. There are jobs that are gone. You go, Mekonle. You know what they call Mekonle? You go do, Okpe o. Say, but your salary has gone. Say, but my freedom has come. Luke chapter 19. Listen, as I'm preaching today, what is happening is the supernatural endowment to get unusual results is coming into people's lives.
Amen.
God doesn't want his people to be average and do things with normal struggle. He wants them to mount up with wings like the eagle. That is, they are flying, but not by their strength. They are flying not by their own energy. They just learn to spread out their wings and tilt it appropriately. And they catch the draft of the wind and it keeps them afloat. That is what God wants. And how does he do that? He pours something into each person. Quickly, please, remember Daniel. The Bible says that he had illumination, insight, wisdom like the wisdom of spiritual people. And that will be your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will have ability that somebody will ask you, what is the secret of your strength? Arjun Lotorono will tell you he was a self-taught engineer. He ran away from school early in life. He didn't want to go to school. He struggled until God settled him and taught him engineering by himself. Luke chapter 19. Because of time, I'm just going to pick one or two verses there. Verse 12. A nobleman went to a distant country, the Lord was speaking, to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas. And that was money. And said to them, do business with this until I come back. I don't want to say more than that. He said to them, what?
Do business
with this until I come back. Now, that's the New American Standard that I just read. And that translation for me is so explicit there. God said to them, do business with this until I come back. We said there is a time of seed, there is a time of harvest. What the Lord did was tell them, look, put your effort into this. Then where I'm taking you to in life, you don't know. Don't worry about it. When I come back, I'll decide. What does that tell you? God does not give anybody the gift of being a senator. He doesn't. He gives a gift of being a teacher, a preacher, and a mother, or anything. A trader, an engineer, a lawyer, a troublemaker, in a good way. And then, one day, he will make you into something. Say, follow me and I will make you. Are you getting my point here? That's how he does. We said that David, what skill, what gift did he have? He was good on the instrument. The skill came to him naturally. And he had a prophetic ability to speak psalms. That was David's gift. But then, when God came, he occupied with that until the Lord came. And when the Lord came, you know what the Lord did? He made him king in Israel. I hope we are clear with that. Okay. Now, so what we are saying here is this. He gives you a gift. He gives you a mina. And he specifies, he says, be busy with this one until I come. What I'm saying to us today is this. Where the Lord will come one day. Somebody say amen. Before he comes, he said, I have given you a gift. That is the area in which I'm going to show my supernatural manifestation in your life. And what I want to teach today, part of what I'm teaching today, is to let you understand that this spiritual thing we are talking about, it will only come into your life in a great measure in just those two areas. One in which you have a gift, and two, in which God keeps you. What I mean is that because sometimes people ask, what's my gift? Sometimes you don't know. Let me tell you the gift that a man who is idle doesn't have a job has. You know his gift? Any work. Yeah, that's I mean it. Those days in University of Benin, they used to have boys, they called any work. How many people went to University of Benin, stay in the hostels? I have only one witness. Nobody went to University of Benin here and knew any work. In Lutz, actually, we used to see them also. Boys would just go around. They're just shouting, any work. They just walk around, any work. You want to go and fetch water, you call them. You want to wash something, you call them. You want to go to your class and go and bring a book you forgot, you call them. Anything, then you pay the boy. The boy will tell you that this one I'm going and coming, my money is 2 naira. And at the end of the day, the boys earn a living. That is the will of God for an idle young man. Are you getting my point? Please. All this one, which one is my gift? It's for those who are busy. Olayinka said you can only steer a car that's moving. If your car is not moving, if you like, turn the steering from now to tomorrow, it won't change direction. Do you get what I'm saying? You only steer a car that is moving. I hate idle and lazy people telling me what's their gift. It's very annoying. Honestly, Apostle, it's very, very annoying. Your father is the problem, or your friends. They should starve you. Do you think Paul had a gift for tent making? It was hunger. You get my point? One man of God wake up in the morning, nothing, no offering, nothing. Philippians have not remembered him. He asked the boys, anything to do? They say, man of God, can you sew? He said, yes. I used to be a tent maker too. His anointing, his calling was that of apostleship. But hunger has a way of teaching people things that they know how to do, but they are not doing. Because I hope I'm clear there. Before he's answering, I say, hey, Pastor Banker, he said, I don't really know my gift. I said, what are you doing right now? He said, I'm a student. Then your gift is book. Read. Every student has a book reading gift. The ability of God is upon you to read. No, one of my friends said, look, I'm digressing, please. Men of God, let me just do this briefly. One of my colleagues said something to me just now when we were in the office. He said a lot of spiritual people hide behind spirituality to hide laziness. What are you doing? I'm prophesying. What are you doing? I'm praying. Are you getting my point? What are you doing? I'm waiting upon the Lord. So you see a man, he tells you that he's prophesying. He's prophesying. He's praying. Wake up in the morning. 12 o'clock. You are taking. One of our brothers in school those days, he was a law student. When his mates will be going to class, he'll be laughing, prophesying, and praying. Let's go to class. He said, that's the armor of flesh. Sounds funny, but it really happened. I was a law student. I always say, being a student, the duty of a student is to read. It's not arm of flesh. Each point in life, each profession in life, each thing you are in life you are given to do has its duties. It is not arm of flesh to be in school and read your book. Education is not supposed to make you rich, it's to get you educated. You hear what I said? Education is not supposed to make you rich, it's supposed to do what? Get you educated. The same person will be watching football. Is that not arm of flesh? So they can argue who's Ronaldo and who's Bebeto. I don't know footballers these days. I'm remembering the old ones when I used to watch football. Those are my own footballers. Ronaldo, Bebeto, Romario. The Lord is good. Listen, every phase in life has its assignment, has its duties. Doing the duties of each phase in life is not arm of flesh. That brother will sit at home and say it's arm of flesh. People are going to school. So you know what happened? When results came out, the arm of his own flesh manifested. He failed thoroughly. He failed well. The Holy Spirit did not come to intervene. Not because God can't intervene. Let me tell you, spiritual things are true. I have personally, I can give you, I'll quickly run through a number of examples and other people's examples, all right? I have personally witnessed the intervention of the Holy Spirit in my exams. 1988, second MB, University of Benin, biochemistry, a subject I did not like. Secondary school, I did not like organic chemistry. I was happy to finish secondary school and run away from organic chemistry. I liked physical chemistry, except that I entered medical school. The day I discovered that we had to do chemistry 103 and chemistry 105, I was depressed. But we managed, we passed it, moved on to second year. The day I discovered that biochemistry was waiting for me second year, I almost cried. I don't know why I hated organic chemistry. And biochemistry is simply advanced organic chemistry. So throughout my second year and the first part of my third year in school, I didn't like to read it. That's why we medical students did read those things. I go to class, I read my anatomy, read my physiology. Once I pick my biochemistry, I fall asleep. So I didn't read it. Except that you don't have a choice. Let me tell you something. Please, I want to digress a bit. My colleague I was talking to, we're in school together, the same fellowship, he was my senior, also a medical student. He said, he and I said something this afternoon, that medicine does something for you. And please, I want you to listen because not all of us here studied medicine or went to medical school or doctors, but I want you to listen to this. One of the things I found out about medicine, which is what helped me in ministry, I didn't know it until today when he and I were discussing just about 3 hours ago. He said, medicine does something for you. It disciplines you in a way few people are disciplined. I have sat before. I didn't know. I wasn't particularly a hardworking young man when I was in secondary school. But in medicine, I sat down and read 12 hours at a stretch. Only took a break to go and buy a drink and a biscuit. I didn't do it once. I did it twice. It was sit down, and I was not the most hardworking in my class. There is a kind of discipline that we learn, all right, in College of Medicine. And listen, in my fifth year, I was a fellowship president. We will leave labor ward, go back straight to fellowship to go and preach. What are you talking about? That's one discipline many people in life don't have. It was this afternoon, the guy analyzed it for me, said, Banky, you don't understand. That doing that thing, it taught us all kinds of discipline. I hated biochemistry, but I had to pass it. I hope you are getting my point. In this life, we have to learn discipline. No? All these moves in the country by country, but when they get to America, they go wake up. Because no party for jungle. I have found out that if men put the effort they put in while they are in the U.S. to survive, they put in the Enugu, they will survive as well. What I've told you is not a joke. My friend who's a physician in the U.S., he will tell me, say, look, Panky, that the doctor's money in America does not come cheap. That we work for every dollar. Anyway, we are saying many things. Good enough, one of the keys I wanted to talk about keys of Rosemary is key of diligence, right? Law of diligence. I have done it now. So that has saved us. We don't have to get back to it. Yeah, we don't have to get back to it. I went into that trying to explain what happened to me and my chemistry. Now, I want to give spiritual manifestation because these things are real. One day I prayed and I told the Lord, please, you know I have to do this. So I begged him. I said, Lord, from now on, I will be diligent. I will read my biochemistry, whether I like it or not. And from now on, I will never say biochemistry is volatile. I got to class that day, sat down, sat beside Kayode. And he turned to me as if sent by, like Peter was sent to tempt the Lord Jesus. He opened his mouth and he said to me, ha, this biochemistry is volatile, Lord. A pledge I just made to the Lord that I will never say. So I turned to him. I said, biochemistry is not volatile. I said, biochemistry is not volatile. I turned the third time and said, biochemistry is not volatile. He said, ah. He did not know I was fighting a spiritual battle. Thought I was talking to him. When Jesus looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Satan was the one that, oh, God, why are you carrying that far now? But Jesus was resisting temptation. You think he's just giving you opinion? I told him, I said, it's not volatile. Let me end the testimony. The day of our essay, they will give us 8 questions. Say, take any 5, 3 hours. Listen to me. Before I walked in, the last 30 minutes to 1 hour before I walked in, I read 3 of them. The night before, I read 1 of them. That is fresh in my brain were 4 topics out of 5. I still remember all of them till today since 1988. You know how many years that is? 28 years. I remember them like it was yesterday because it was so dramatic. The novel synthesis of cholesterol. Metabolism of branched-chain amino acids. Biochemistry of synaptic transmission and biochemistry of muscular contraction. I remember them till today, after 28 years, because it was dramatic. They said 45 minutes to go, I gave them my paper. No, I was ready to drop my paper. I said something must be wrong. You can't finish in 2 hours and 15 minutes. So I sat down and started again. I ran through everything in about 15 minutes. I said, I've written everything now. So I got up 30 minutes to go, I gave them my paper and walked out. I believe in spiritual things. Listen, 1997, part 1, West African College of Physicians, Faculty of Pathology. I still remember, I slept and I dreamt. Question number 1, cystic diseases of the kidney. I looked at number 2, it vanished. 3, it vanished. I called for another paper, they gave it to me. I looked, I saw the question again. The other 3, I couldn't see. 4 questions answer all. In UCH Ibadan. I woke up, I went to work. I said, they are going to ask us about cystic disease of the kidney. They said, no, Banky, what's wrong with you? That's for big people now. We are small, small people. What do you mean by that? I said, well, that was what I dreamt about. And they said, get away, it's not possible. That's for big people now. We are just starting to know that question is too hard. Make a long story short. We walked into the exam. like I saw in the dream, I was late. Because I saw an old classmate and I was talking on the corridor with him. When I called for my paper, I flipped it over. First question, write an essay on this particular type of cystic disease of the kidney. My friend on my left, he turned and looked, and his eyes opened. After the exam, they came and said, ah, Joseph, any other? Are you getting my point here? So I believe in spiritual things. I'm just saying that, listen, before you qualify for such things, God, there are things that are habits that you are supposed to work in for the situation you are in life. If you're a student, you go to class regularly. I was in med school for 6 years. That kind of experience happened to me only twice. And I took all kinds of exams. I hope you are clear. All right? So I was talking about, listen, your gift. So God places you somewhere. Wherever he places you, he wants to manifest himself there. But another place where, another thing he has done is to give you a special gift. So he says, occupy with this. There are two ways he does it, like I said. The first thing is that he takes you and puts you in a place. Joseph, occupy with this prison until I come. Do you understand my point? He tosses you in prison and says, be occupied in the prison until I come. Potiphar says, be occupied till I come. You can't say, no, I don't have a gift of being a slave. That's your job. You do it. But there are other people. For time's sake, we can't read them, but even though I pick them out here. People like Bezalel. You go to Exodus chapter 35. We don't have much time, but let's just read that one. Exodus 35, quickly. Let's just read a few. I hope I'm making sense. What are we doing this evening? We are provoking people to walk in the supernatural as a habit. As a habit, we are walking the supernatural. Somebody say amen. Listen, if you're a painter, you are painting houses, there is a technology that God has hidden for you alone. So next time you handle the brush, you begin to have inspiration on how to do things that men did not do before you came. I want us to just read this quickly. Exodus chapter 35. Let's start from verse 30. So then Moses said to the sons of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, and he has filled him with the spirit, I've jumped to 31, and he has filled him with the spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship, to make designs for working in gold, and in silver, and in bronze, and in cutting of stones for settings, and in the carving of wood, so as to perform in every inventive work. He also has put in his heart to teach both he and Oholiab, the son of Abisamach, of the tribe of Dan, verse 35. He has filled them with skill to perform every work of an engraver and of a designer and of an embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet material and in fine linen and of a weaver as performers of every work and makers of designs. Now, that's next verse 36. Now, Bezalel and Oholiab, and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. Now, listen to me. God has placed a skill in your hand. I read into chapter 36, all right? God has placed a skill in your hand, and he's saying you must perform according to all that he has commanded. What am I going to say to you? Let me just rush. I want us to close now. The point I'm trying to make is this. There is a skill in your hand. One day a young woman met me. She showed me work that she could do. She was a fine artist. That she actually paid part of her way through school doing that work. And I said to her, listen to this. I said, now you are left school. I think she was finishing NYC at that time. What should she do next? She just wanted my counsel. I said, you can do anything that your hand finds to do. But make sure that thing gives you time to pursue this skill. Many people, they are asking to be fruitful. Their prayer is, Lord, this place where I am, I need to be promoted. I want to be promoted. God said, you have stayed there for too long. I put a spirit inside you to bring out certain inventions. They don't need it here. Time to get out and go and release that thing that have placed inside you. It's only then that I work miracles in your life. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, that is one thing I want people to understand. If you want to be fruitful, you have to go into the place where you have an unusual advantage. Are you getting my point here? Sometimes God places you in a place Be there. Be faithful for now. But a time comes and says, listen, I want you in a place where you have the unusual advantage. I like what the Bishop Oyedepo used to say. I don't know whether it's Mike Mdog that also said it. They said, there's a place where you are excellent. What are you doing where you are average? I'll tell you, most people, the average pays better than the excellent. So they stick with the average and are asking for the blessing of the excellent. Listen, this is the word of God. It won't come. Because there's a reason why God gave you the excellent. He wants to produce something through you. And he will not, listen, like I always tell my wife, I say, you don't reward bad behavior. Why do you think God will reward bad behavior? As a parent, never reward bad behavior. If your child throws a tantrum, don't calm the tantrum with the thing he's asking for. I don't know how I learned that one even before my children were born. My children have never gotten anything from my hand with tantrum. You throw a tantrum, I give you a flogging. So they learn to calm down and make requests of the father. Daddy, can we have this? And I will look and decide whether it is good or it is not good. That just by the way. In the same manner, God does not reward bad behavior. He said, listen, I'll put a skin in you, Bezalel. But they are promoting you. Where you are, we've joined those who are singing for the king. Hey, king, you don't wake. Amen. Hallelujah. King, you know? And he said, hey, very soon I'll be promoted to be chief singer. Amen. God is looking like Bezalel. Bezalel, I'll soon enjoy you. So the man will be praying for promotion. Say, God, I can't promote you. God says, I can't promote you. I can't promote you. Look at it. So you practice more and practice more. Then your voice cracks the day before test. And I say, I've sowed my seed so that my voice will melt before the day of the test. That money can't even talk. Say, sing Kisi. Ah, you know what the Lord is saying to Bezalel? If you want to be outstanding, leave where they are singing. Go to where they are designing for the tabernacle. There you will discover the gift that have placed inside you. Please let me end here. I've not finished everything I want to say. All right, but one thing I pray that I have done today is to let Christians know that we are going to be fruitful not by walking averagely. We are going to walk with supernatural manifestation, and we are going to walk with the grace that has placed upon our lives. Listen, there is nothing I like to do more than preaching. I'm being honest with you. You know the reason why? I found out the only time I can call people and find men and women like you will leave everything you are doing and come and listen to me. If you heard I was given a special number, will you have time? He said, what's happening this evening? Pastor Banky is singing. He said, the guy, they try. That's all you will say, oh, they try. Are you going? No. Greet him, they try. Are you getting my point? No, really, me. My duty now is to fire up the skills of preaching, fill my head with the knowledge of scripture and information with which I can instruct the people of God. That is what I'm supposed to do. Bishop Oyedepo said, there is a place where you are excellent. What are you doing where you are average? Let me end today's one like this. Remember, life is not an accident. There is a God who sent us here. And he wants you and I to be outstanding by his pouring his special spirit inside us. And I'm saying something today. Number one, expect that manifestation. In that office where you are, you may see that's not where you are gifted, but that's the office where you are in today. Expect an unusual manifestation. Amen. God wants to make you a Daniel in the midst of unbelievers. Amen. So that they will know that you are the one that solves problems. He wants to make you a Joseph in the midst of unbelievers. So that one day when they need big problems solved, they will call you. Let me say something to you in life. One of the things you must target as a believer is this. Ask yourself, what will people need and they will remember me? That's a question you must ask. What will people need and they will remember me? If people's cars are bad, they don't remember me. Are you getting my point here? They don't remember me. If people want to borrow money to expand their business, they don't remember me. They don't remember me at all. If people are looking for who will help them get visa to go somewhere, they don't remember me. But sometimes churches is gathered and say, we have a program. Who do we invite? My name drops. Yinka will tell you, sometimes I say, some people, I say, tell them I don't have time. Thank God for Kimuti's life, amen. Once in a while, when they want to harass me too much, I say, this is Pastor Banky, call him. But my name drops when people want to hear the word being taught. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's not only for preachers, it's for everybody. What will somebody need and they will remember you? If you don't have today, then you have an assignment for this night. Yes, sir. What will people need and they will remember you? It is very crucial. Because that's one thing God wants to do. Look, God can hand out money like this to everybody. But why he doesn't do it is that he spoils them. Because it's not about money, it's about being productive. In this life, you must be good at something. That's the key to fruitfulness we are talking about. Later we'll talk about multiplication. But let's talk about fruitfulness. Fruitfulness means that God has placed something inside you. It must come out for people to taste of it. What I'm preaching today is that God wants to pour a grace upon that thing. So that when people encounter you, years later they will have a problem. And they will say, I met a man in prison a few years ago. His name is Joseph. Your Excellency, he can solve this problem. Don't wait for people to connect you to important people. Wait for God to pour a grace upon you so that your work will connect you to important people. There's a story I've told a number of times. My friend called me one day. He said, Bankis, how can I send you money? No. First they said, send me Kingdom World account number. Send me Kingdom World account number. I said, what's happening? He said, offering day. So you know what? I sent it to him. And he quickly sent 20,000 naira. Is it 20 or 40? I can't even remember. And he told me the story that what happened was that a big man, a name if I mention you all know, said a big man wasted his time in court. And they gave him 200,000 naira to say sorry for wasting 2 or 4 hours of his time. They're supposed to go somewhere. He was some local government guys in Lagos. And the man went to go and attend to something and he kept them waiting. So when he came back, he said, I'm so sorry. So he called my friend to the side and said, what do we do for all these local government guys? The man said, anything you have, give them now. You know, like maybe like 2,000, 4,000. The man said, is that not too small? So he went and brought 20,000 and shared to each person, 20K. So those ones left. And I told my friend, oh boy, a man like you. Young man, a very young man that time. He just opened his bag, brought out 200,000, said, for wasting your time, I'm very sorry. They've not done the job, though. This is time-wasting compensation. Why I'm telling this story is this. My friend was in Enugu here. The day his phone rang, his train number, I didn't know who it was. So he picked the phone. Hello? The person said, is this so-and-so person? He said, yes. He said, the MD of this particular bank and subsidiary gave me your number. He said, this is so, you know, he introduced himself. You can imagine I'm going on the road now. And not me, I'm a preacher. People don't call me for things like that. But let me look. Okay, let me assume that Olayinka is going on the road now. And his phone rang. I said, hello, is that Mr. Olayinka? He said, yes. He said, okay, please, this is Femi Otedola. You will say, Ole, go and find work. You know, that is the first thing. You know, that's the first thing that comes to your mind. He said, Ole, go and find work. My friend first thought, it was a man of those kind of caliber of people. So this is a joke or what? He now said, this particular person gave me your number. He knew it was not a joke. He said, please, can I see you? The man said, where are you? He said, I'm in my house, in VI. He said, no problem, sir. The man didn't suspect my friend was in Enugu. The guy ran to the airport, looked for tickets, sharp, and boarded the next plane and bolted to Lagos. Arrived at the man's house in the evening. The man didn't know the guy came from Enugu. What I'm telling the story is, why did that other man give him his number? He had a major work to do. He needed somebody to help him do it. So that's why he told his friend, who was the MD of a bank subsidiary. And that one said, if you want this job done, the only person who I know that can do it for you well and do it honestly is this man. Call him. This is his number. That's how the business began. He said, you want somebody to do this for you and do it well? He said, the guy who I know is one young man. Just give him his number. That's how come this big man called one, in quotes now, physically speaking, small man. Like I said, ask yourself, what will people need and they will remember me? The day they were paid for the job, he said, hey, Banky, where are you? That time I was in the U.S. He said, I need to send you an offering. Where are you? I said, give it to my wife. He said, it's U.S. dollars, though. I said, give it to my wife. She will put into my credit card, my MasterCard. Why? Because when they finish the job, the man said, all right, fine. He said, how do we settle payment now? He said, is US dollars acceptable? Imagine that kind of insult. Time to pay. The man opened his purse, brought out a bundle of US dollars, counted for them. That's why my friend came out and said, Banky, just come. Say, where are you? I need to send you an offering. Man of God. He told me, man of God. So I said, give it to my wife. How? Because somebody said, if you need somebody to do this for you, call this man. Ask yourself a simple question. What will somebody need? And my name will ring a bell. And if you know that thing already, say, God, please add grace to it too. Listen, God doesn't want children that he blesses by, hey, you know, I did not deserve it. We thank God I was a fool and they paid me. God doesn't, do you get my point? The Lord doesn't like such things. Those testimonies are embarrassing to him. What he wants is that, brethren, I didn't know anybody. I was not the most qualified academically. But when I opened my mouth to speak, the Lord gave me a mouth and a wisdom that none of my competitors could gainsay or resist. That is his testimony. He says, no means that when I just man, I was just talking like a village stupid idiot. But then the Lord just said, give my son, he's my son. And they now gave me the job. God said, who's your father if I slap you? Come on, we have the spirit of excellence. Yes. When they called Daniel, it was because he had the spirit of excellence. When they called Joseph, it was because somebody remembered his abilities. And that is how you will triumph and you will be fruitful.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads to pray. Say, Lord, thank you for your word. I want you to thank God for enablement. Thank him for supernatural ability. That's what I want you to thank him for. Thank him for enablement. Say, Lord, I receive it. The power to be outstanding. The grace. In this my area, I will not be average. I will not be average. Say, Lord, I receive it. The power to be outstanding. Supernatural ability. The spirit of excellence. The spirit of excellence. I receive it, I receive it, I receive it in the name of Jesus. It's in me. I release it, I release it. Every hindrance. One of the things that hinders such things is wrong ideas, wrong fixations. If I don't get to Europe, I will not prosper. So the gift is dormant. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Let's rise to our feet and pray. Let's rise to our feet. We're closing now, in fact. We'll be out of here definitely in 5 minutes maximum. We'll take a few announcements. Say, Lord, I release every obstruction to the release of my gift. I remove it now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Begin to pray for yourself. Oh, not begin to pray. You are praying. Say, Lord, if I'm an engineer, I do my engineering work. If I'm an architect, whatever it is, with an outstanding ability. Oh, if I'm a preacher, inspiration is in my mouth, it's in my heart. When I open the scriptures, people are blessed. If I stand, they're already blessed. If I open the Bible, they're already blessed. Whatever I do, as I handle the word, they are blessed. If I'm a teacher, the ability to impact people, I must have it in an unusual way. Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive it. I receive it and I release it. I receive it, I release it, I receive it, I release it. Every obstruction, I cancel. Every stronghold that wants to stop the release of that spirit. Lord, let's break it down. I release your hands, Father. Break it down for me in the name of Jesus. I am a gift to this generation. Say, Lord, I am a gift to this generation. I'm a gift to this generation. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
From today, you will be outstanding.
Amen.
In all that you do, you will be outstanding.
Amen.
If you are a speaker, whether you are a preacher, you speak in other areas, when you stand, the Lord will give you a mouth and a wisdom.
Amen.
That will marvel your hearers in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's not just for show, but you will impact them with divine wisdom.
Amen.
I give the testimony all the time of Peter Daniels that spoke for 10 minutes and God paid $1 million. And those who paid him $1 million made $100 million. Because he had a mouth and a wisdom. He counseled the company on what to do. Your words will make men rich.
Amen.
If you are a doctor, you will make diagnosis. They will only confirm it by radiology. There's what they call the word of knowledge. I pray Christians understand. When the Bible talks about diversities of effects, the varieties of manifestations, it's not only for preachers. Though. Students have it. I just told you my own story. I think I told only one. I told two. Read Ben Carson's own. I mean, many people have witnessed it. I don't have time to be telling stories of my friends. Heavy exam tomorrow. They went to go and pray. They came back to class, read 5 subjects. Next day they went for the exam, 5 topics alone, just what they read last night. There's what is called a word of knowledge, there's a word of wisdom. When you go to work, expect a manifestation.
Amen.
Listen, read Ben Carson's story. He will tell you about the supernatural ability of hand, eye coordination that he has, which made him an outstanding surgeon. God wants something to be outstanding in our lives.
Amen.
It's not only pastors that give words of knowledge. Words of wisdom will fill your mouth as an administrator.
Amen.
As a businessman, you look. They will say they can do this thing with 10 million naira. You will look at it and say, I will do this with 750,000. You will think you are joking. Someone say, everybody is saying 10 million. Okay, I'm going to bid for 6.5 million. I will do it, make allowance for everything. By the time I'm done, I'll spend 1.5 million. I pocket a profit of 5 million. What the wisdom has done is to convert wealth into your hands. It's not the result they're looking for. I've given it to them. Read Proverbs chapter 2. God said he has hidden sound wisdom for the upright. Listen, I pray for you today. Wisdom comes upon you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Wisdom to get results with little. Big results with little. What men are spending 10 million naira to do, you will spend 500,000 naira, you will do better.
Amen.
That is the key of fruitfulness. God doesn't want to be struggle. He doesn't want us to be struggle like everybody else. No. That's not what he wants for us. That's not what he wants. He wants us to mount up with wings like eagles. And one of the things he does is to give wisdom. He will give you wisdom.
Amen.
People are saying you are looking for capital. God said, no, I will give you wisdom. Yes, somebody here, you need to hear it. You'll be looking for capital for the last 1 year. Because you know what I'm not giving you? You don't need capital. If I give you that money, you'll have lost it by now. But I'm going to give you a wisdom that within the next 18 months, you will produce much more than you will have done in 10 years if you had that capital. It will come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Wisdom will let you know where to locate your business.
Amen.
Let me tell you about the word of wisdom. There are places you will think the city will expand to this area. You buy land there and the city goes in the other direction. True of us? Have you seen it before? Now imagine that a man who knew where the city will expand to. He will buy land at a fraction of the price that direction everybody is going. That's what God does for Christians. You will see the future.
Amen.
In your area of calling, you will see the future.
Amen.
In your area of calling, God will let you know what's people ahead of you have not yet seen. You will see it.
Amen.
There are different ways of seeing it. Some, you will just have understanding and be able to work it out. But let me tell you, some people here, they will sleep and literally they will dream.
Amen.
And God will say, see that you tell no man, just between me and you. Many people are running in one direction. They won't know why you are not moving. They won't know the Lord has said to you, no, that is not where it is. It's this or that direction. Spiritual manifestation fills your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As a mother, you will know what to say to your children that they will change.
Amen.
You have beaten that boy. You have pulled his ear. You almost won't bite himself. But that time is over. Because he has passed the stage of beating or denying him this and that because he's not listening. What you now need is a spiritual word of wisdom. You will say it to him and he will change overnight.
Amen.
God will do that for you as a favor. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Those children will not keep you awake anymore.
Amen.
You will sleep in peace, knowing that God is working in your life and in their lives.
Amen.
Let me say it again, spiritual manifestation is for everybody.
Amen.
It's not only for preachers. It's not demonstration. Say, hey, what's your phone number? 050. No, no, no. That's not the idea. Every child of God has a gift of God, the ability to connect with the Spirit. While we have not been seeing much of it, that we have not expected it. And we have not stayed in the place where it expects us to stay. Listen, get to your own place, receive from God, and you will see manifestations in your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's give him thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, if you are blessed today, tell your neighbor, I was blessed.
I was blessed.
What about you?
Answer him.
Answer her. All right. Now, let's share the grace in fellowship. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Are we ready?
Yes,
all right, one, two, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are passed out of death and we are passed into life. We are passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We are passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things are passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. We are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.
Mine.
In the name of Jesus. Now bless somebody on your left and your right. Tell him your. Another person. Please do two more people quickly. Two more people. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication. All right, cherub brethren, the word works.